This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Should be a fun one today. We have Brett McMurphy of the Action Network on at 1:35 to talk a little college sports. Sounds like there's going to be some interesting things to talk about. UTEP looks like UTEP's going to the Mountain West, and Gonzaga has decided to at least join the Pac-12 in basketball. That came out this morning as well. Usual suspects later on, Neil Coulong on the Steelers at 2:05, and Matt's going to join us in the last segment. He had a little bit of something to do right now, so he's going to join us in the back half of the show.
Who's that, Matt?
Matt. Were you hoping to get out of it?
He finally yelled at the kids? What?
I don't know. The way the weather's going, I don't think it's because he has a high school game.
Ooh, that's for sure. We have Neil today, right?
Neil, Brett McMurphy at 1:35. Neil at 2:05.
Neil at 2:05. Okay, and then what? We're going to have Wheels on later in the week. Does that sound right?
Yeah, Wheels is going to be on tomorrow at 2:05 to talk a little Pete Rose.
Yeah. So we will start with Pete Rose. By the way, Ace Baldwin named preseason All Big Ten. That was an easy call. How did I do here? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. Yeah, I did all right. I had named 10. I got 7. Pete Rose. So let's just get this out of, you know, it's complicated with him because he made it complicated. He bet on baseball. He lied about it. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. Nobody had more hits than him, 4,256. He came up as a no power guy that could hit and played hard. And that was his entire career. He didn't hit home runs. He got hits. He kept getting on base. And he always used to brag that he played in more winning games than anybody. Well, Pete, no offense, you started winning games when Johnny Bench ascended to the team. Oh, and you acquired Joe Morgan. Now you started winning a lot of games. Okay, so, like, even though you helped a lot, you start winning a ton of games once you got surrounded by people. Same thing with the Phillies. He had Steve Carlton. He had Mike Schmidt. You know, but we'll get to the Philly thing in a moment. There's no question that based on his career, he's a Hall of Famer. Just based on his career, if you just take his numbers and everything he did. Rookie of the Year when he came up. And let's give credit where credit is due. Rose, whenever the Reds needed him someplace, he willingly moved. He was a second baseman when he came up, made the All-Star team. Then was a left fielder, made the All-Star team. Then was a right fielder, made the All-Star team. I think it was right field first, then left field. Okay? The Reds got to 75, and they were going along, and Rose volunteered to go to third base, which he hadn't played, because he knew by going to third base it would get George Foster's bat into the lineup. And then, of course, the latter stages of his career, he played first base. He was nicknamed Charlie Hustle by Mickey Mantle. It was not a compliment. Okay? It was not. But if you were to just put on a video for young players to watch, Rose would be a video I would put up saying, look, he said, look how hard that guy plays. Look how hard that guy plays. Yeah. He had 1,566 walks. He had the 44-game hitting streak, which is the tie for the longest in the history of the National League. And Pete Rose was emblematic of how to play any sport hard. There's no getting around it. And Rose, for years, denied anything happened. That kept him from getting on the ballot. I mean, Mike Schmidt, Joe Morgan worked hard to try and get Rose meetings with Bud Selig, and he did meet with Selig. Selig spelled out to him what baseball expected if the league was ever going to consider adjusting his life sentence. He'd have to stop gambling, and that means all gambling. And that, you know, that means casinos and racetracks. Because, look, going to the casino, I mean, my apologies, going to the racetrack, he did that all the time when he was in Cincinnati, which is fine. It's legal. It's all right because all right. But when Rose was done with his meeting with Selig, what did he do? When he was done with his meeting with Bud Selig, what did Pete Rose do? He walked out of the meeting and went right to an appearance at a sports book in Las Vegas. That was it. You're done. All right? So now let's get to the betting on the game. The one thing, if I were to give any separation for Pete Rose, it would be player versus manager. But here's the issue. I'm not quite sure if some of these bets were placed when he was the player manager, because remember, he was the player manager for a period of time for the Reds. Okay? And that's where I think that's where I get clogged up with him. When it comes to betting on the game, John Dowd and his group did not just a good job, they did a phenomenal job of proving their case. Proved it. Okay? And I always enjoy when I hear somebody say, but he bet on his own team to win. Are you that naive about how the sport is played? I mean, really, are you that naive? When you are a manager, your job is to manage the moment, to manage the situation, to manage the game, to manage the week, to manage the month, and to manage the season. You have to do all that when you're crafting what you need to do. So I pitched Todd out of the bullpen three straight days. One of the days he gave me a second inning. So in 3 days he's pitched four innings for me. He needs today off. But I put money on the game. And now I'm in a situation I need to pitch him. Really?
I'm a workhorse. I got you, coach.
Right. But you know what? And then the next day I have a bet on it. and I need to pitch Todd again. I've now pitched him 5 straight days. Right. Okay. And guess what? Suddenly in August, are we surprised when Todd goes on the IL? Shouldn't be. The game's personal to begin with. To win, it's already personal to begin with because you're trying to win the game for the team, everything. But when you're doing that, you are making decisions that actually can put careers in jeopardy. Because you need that, because you personally need that moment so badly, you might be. Now, it could be the first game of the series. Hey, I'm pitching a couple of days. That's fine, okay. But when you keep going and going and going, and now you've got guys maybe playing, instead of getting a day off here or there, they're not getting any days off. Okay, now I'm pitching how many guys days in a row? I may be pitching my starter a little bit longer. I mean, there's a whole bunch of decisions you're making. And some of them are the wrong decisions because you need to do it. I've got to win this game. Have to. And then for the next 15 years, he lied about it, and then the Bud Selig beating. I mean, Mike Schmidt, right, and Joe Morgan worked hard behind the scenes to get that meeting with Selig. So he had it, and as soon as he was done, he went to the casino, to the sports book.
I've kind of always felt that the same type of the parts of his personality that allowed him to excel in baseball like he does is kind of the parts that hold him back when it comes to the gambling.
I agree with that. Now, with the Phillies, he was, you know, he comes over to the Phillies, I think it was, what, $800,000 a year? It's like a 4-year, $3.2 million contract, some number like that. The Phillies desperately needed that kind of personality. He played well for the Phillies. Of course, you know, the world-famous catch he made on the deflection off, you know, when Bob Boone couldn't hold on to it. All right. But they needed that kind of personality to get them over the top. They'd been a playoff team. Schmidt was already a great player, one of the best the game's ever seen. They had Steve Carlton still. Yeah. I mean, that's had some really good players on that team, but he kind of gave them that attitude and maybe a little additional confidence of a guy who on the field is a true winner. And I think it made a huge difference in the Phillies winning their first ever World Series. Huge difference. He was terrific for the Phillies. All right. So, I mean, that's, I would have liked to have seen his name at least get on the ballot. That way he could have at least been voted upon. Barry Bonds has been on the ballot. He's been voted upon. Roger Clemens on the ballot has been voted upon. Sammy Sosa was on the ballot. Okay, he's been voted upon. Mark McGwire's been on the ballot. He's been voted upon. I would have liked to see Rose get on the ballot. How about that, Todd? And let then decide what to do.
Well, I think people think that, you know, his death might get him on the ballot and, you know, that he's banned for life. But that's not true either because he's on the restricted list. He's on he's along the same lines as Joe Jackson. So, yeah, Shoeless Joe. So I'm not sure.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. And it's just, I don't know if quaint's the right word. It just seems so strange in this era of gambling that we're having this conversation about.
But again, in this era of gambling, though, fans can gamble.
Yeah.
Participants cannot. Participants can't gamble.
It's not even the part of them gambling. I mean, when you were growing up, when I was growing up, that was the worst thing a Major League Baseball player could do.
Yeah.
And now they're in bed with it.
Yeah, the league is in bed with it. The teams are in bed with it, but the participants can't be. They can't. Hey, you've got guys getting suspended.
Yes.
For placing bets on other sports. Not just their sport, but other sports. You know, we went through last year with Iowa, Iowa State. We've gone through it in the NFL. You know, I mean, Detroit lost a couple of players for half the season last year, including Williams, because they placed bets not on the NFL, but in the parking lot, and they were using the Wi-Fi of the team. It's a little extreme, but it's the rule. Participants can't bet on their sport. You can't allow it. You can't. And that's universal. It's in European soccer. It's here. It's everywhere. You can't have them putting down bets. And I've advised my broadcasting class over the years. I said, I've got one piece of advice when it comes to gambling. I said, don't gamble on a game you're covering. I said, it jades your coverage. Well, he was betting, you know, he may have been betting on his team to win. And we've already had the scandal this year with Otani's interpreter.
Which is wild that he's going to be sentenced in a couple weeks, and that's all going to be done in less than a year, too.
Yeah. It's not as if there are not exhibits in the Hall of Fame for Pete Rose. There are.
Yes.
There are Pete Rose exhibits all over the Hall of Fame. He's just not in the Hall of Fame as an inductee. But exhibits? He's got exhibits all over the place. The guy loved playing baseball. He grew up in Cincinnati. He loved being a Cincinnati Red. I think he really enjoyed Philadelphia. I don't know how much he enjoyed Montreal the brief time he was there, but the issue is, it's like in any sport, you know, we're talking about FanDuel money, we're talking about DraftKings money, we're talking about casinos now, sports books, how many states have it, and so forth. But no matter what we have in terms of what everyday people can do and gamble on, the participants cannot gamble on their sport. Can't. I mean, you need to have integrity in the sport. You can't be looking at the sport when it's like a guy comes in, misjudges it, drops it. You can't have a question as you're watching the game. Like, is he on the take? Did he have money on the game? How many times have you heard like a guy drops a pass over the middle and you'll hear somebody says, I wonder if he's got money on the game? Right?
Actually, the thing more recently is guys accusing the officials.
Yeah. You can't. Okay. You just can't have it at all. As a player, absolutely a Hall of Fame player. I mean, that's an easy one. You would have had, as a player, better than 95% of the vote. There would have been a couple of holdouts on first ballot. But he would have had 95% of the votes. Easy. Easy, easy, easy. And look, he's popular. He's popular beyond words. People love Pete Rose. And like I said, if I was showing little leaguers, right? Hey, you want to see how to play the game right? Watch how hard this guy plays. All right. More of the wheels tomorrow, especially this time with the Phillies. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online. At sunburymotors.com, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee, terrific service department that backs it up. Whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, it's always great when we get Brett McMurphy on the show. Brett, welcome back. It's so great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, I don't know if you heard or not. Gonzaga's going to Pac-12. Some random no-name journalist reported that a week ago, and nobody believed him. But, yeah, that's what's going on today.
Actually, when I gave you attribution on the show last week as that random no-name journalist, I thought it was, it seemed right. Is it, I'm going to maybe guess a little bit here, but is Gonzaga going to get a full share in the Pac-12 when this is all said and done, like a football school?
That's what I was told when I initially, you know, reported that back on September 23rd. Certainly things can change. They still have to get another football member. You know, at that time they were just bringing Utah State on board. From the sources that correctly told me Gonzaga was going to the Pac-12, the understanding was yes, they would receive a full share. I don't know if that has officially been determined yet. And to be honest, Steve, I don't think it will be until they get in the eighth football member and can sit down and pass all this out. And also, look, they still got to go to market. They got to get a meteorites deal with the new configuration. But I think it's a great move for the Pac-12. I know you don't want to talk about basketball, but certainly with what they were left with and what their options that they realistically had for the Pac-12 all smelled like bad fish. So being able to get somebody like Gonzaga into that league for a basketball partnership is huge for the Pac-12. And, kind of like that Neil Young song, to paraphrase, realignment never sleeps.
Well, I'm going to my 43rd season announcing Penn State basketball, so I'll talk hoops anytime. So that's not a problem.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Okay. Now, before I get back to the Pac-12, UTEP is going to go to, it looks like, the Mountain West for them. What kind of fit is that for the Mountain West to then step in and be a replacement team?
Well, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They have not been that great in football. They are located in the state of Texas, which opens up that state recruiting-wise. They are, you know your hoops. They've been better than most in basketball. Mm-hmm. They've had some good success there. Basically at this point, Steve, we've gone past the point of the Big Ten adding the four Pac-12 schools. And we're past the point of the SEC going with Texas and OU. Now, basically, it's the trickle-down effect. And now these conferences further down the totem pole are basically in a survival mode.
Yep.
And they're just they're grabbing warm bodies so they can keep their membership above 8 to stay an NCAA FBS conference and qualify for the college football playoff. That's what they're doing. So all things considered, getting UTEP is not bad for the Mountain West. It makes sense from a geography standpoint. I also reported last week that they are having conversations, the Mountain West, with Northern Illinois and Toledo out of the MAC. Yes,
yeah.
Folks, they could destroy MACtion for us, which I know a lot of your listeners love. Why in the world are they doing that? People are wondering. Well, those guys would be football-only members. And what that would do is, I talked a little bit earlier about the Pac-12 and their media rights deals. The Mountain West, and when they go back to the negotiating table for their media rights deal, they potentially could have a conference, the only conference in America, hang the banner, that spans 5 time zones.
Oh, yeah.
The four in the continental United States and Hawaii.
Yeah.
So for a network, that adds a lot of value. When you're able to put games on from noon to midnight, now they're not going to make anywhere close to power conference money. But if they can just increase, they're only at $5 million right now. So potentially maybe they can increase that up to $7 million per team, $8 million, maybe right. $10 million, who knows. But any kind of increase in today's market, it's huge, and so that's why, Steve, they're looking to dip into the MAC and potentially, it's not going to destroy MACtion. MACtion will always survive.
Yeah.
As I've said, and this is a compliment, when the world ends, only two things will survive, and that is cockroaches and the MAC. So they'll be fine. They just may lose two of their members.
All right, so let's have with the audience, let's have a little fun of geography. El Paso is actually closer to Los Angeles than Houston, even though they're in the same state with Houston, and Toledo is actually closer to London than Hawaii. So other than
I saw the Toledo beat guys reporting that. Oh my god, dude, they're not playing every year at Hawaii, okay?
Right.
So when the Hawaii Bowl has an invitation, Toledo can't go to the Hawaii Bowl because it's too far. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I understand the regional and the beauty of the MAC is that everybody is right there. It's an old school conference, and I love that. And by the way, I hate conference realignment for what it's done for college athletics. But yeah, you're right. You can make all these comparisons about. You're closer to Africa than you are to Hawaii. I mean, some of these schools may be closer to the moon than they are to some of their conference members at this point.
All right, so now let me throw out an interesting chip, and that is Texas State, which has been, FBS for 12, 13 years now. Right?
Yep.
In this lower-level realignment, what kind of chip potentially is Texas State in terms of people wanting them?
Well, going back to the desperate times segment of realignment, that's basically where we're at. The Mountain West needs one more. They talked to Texas State. Texas State would rather go to the Pac-12. So that ain't happening. Sorry, Bobcats. Pac-12 does not have any interest in Texas State. So Texas State, has a decision. They can go to the Mountain West, or they can remain in the Sun Belt, and then if there is movement with the American, maybe some teams leave the American, maybe to re-engage with the Pac-12, or potentially if the American loses school, now we're getting several years down the road, the American loses schools to the ACC, if the ACC loses schools, then maybe Texas State has their sights on getting to the American or something like that, but
right.
They're not going to the Pac-12. I think it'd be a good fit for both Texas State and the Mountain West. You establish another brand in Texas.
Yep.
Gives you two schools in Texas. They haven't had a school in Texas since TCU back in 2011. That's kind of the next. If you're kind of playing along at home, that's kind of the next one to keep your eye on. Is does Texas State go to the Mountain West, And if not, then Mountain West still has to come up with one more full member.
So then for the Pac-12, which needs to come up with one more, give me a couple of candidates.
So I'm not reporting this, but my opinion is I think the Pac-12 takes a breath. They've got Gonzaga in, and I think they take a couple of months, and they kind of reevaluate everything, and I think they make another run at the schools in the American.
Okay.
Because,
got it.
Because I, Steve, I don't think there's anything else out there that they can. I mean, you know, look, if they want to go at Sacramento State or Montana State or North Dakota State,
right? Yeah.
Somebody like that doesn't make a lot of sense. You just brought on Gonzaga. You know, the question is, can they get enough money out of their media deal to convince those teams to leave the American? Because those teams from the American. Yeah, it's a lateral move to the Pac-12. You're not a power conference,
right?
So if they're not making more money to, you know, take on all that additional travel, it's not going to make sense. But that's what I think will happen. That's my opinion, not reporting, but that's my opinion on what I think the Pac-12 ultimately does. But of course, if I confirm it and I know it's happening, I will happily tweet it and then watch everybody tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, right. I know. You seem to be right about a lot of stuff. So for all the people who want to say you're, I think he's wrong. No, he's right.
Well, it's funny. When somebody doesn't report something, then it's, okay, we need to debunk this report. You know, look, I get beat on stories all the time. I'm fine with that, you know. Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
Right. No, it's fine. That, which now gets me to the Nashville meeting, SEC Big Ten. You know, they mentioned scheduling or whatever, and we all know the SEC has 8 conference games, the Big Ten has 9. But in the end, is this an SEC Big Ten power play on getting as many as 4 automatic bids for each conference in the college football playoff? I mean, is that a possibility with this?
Well, I think it's to get everybody together and just kind of have these discussions face to face and decide what exactly they want going forward. What exactly do they want? I know Tony Petitti's a big proponent of 4 automatic bids for those 2 conferences. Obviously, you know, the other 7 conferences disagree, but guess what? The other 7 conferences don't matter. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as scheduling agreements, I think that's something that would be another baby step, but a step towards we're going to get to some point down the road where the SEC and the Big Ten kind of take their ball and they go play their own game. They do their own playoff. They do their own season. They do it's NFL light, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily, Steve, they want to do that, but if they can't get what they want, then that's the hammer that they can always threaten. So, you know, all the projections right now for my projections at Action Network for the playoff and for all the bowl games, I think I have 7 from the Big Ten and from the SEC. So basically almost 8, but they're not automatic. Those are teams that I feel are going to be up there. If there's ever a year where the third and fourth team from those power leagues, you know, have 4 losses, I don't think they should be guaranteed a spot in the playoff. They disagree. And also, I think, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first is the 4 automatic bids guaranteed before you do the scheduling agreement.
That's
because that way you're not concerned if you suffer some more losses, because you know basically if I'm in the top 4 in the Big Ten, I'm guaranteed a spot in the playoff, whether I'm 10-2 or whether I'm 8-4. You know, I don't think anything concrete's going to come out of this, any kind of announcement or agreement. I just think it's another step in talking and seeing what they want to do. But again, because keep in mind, all of the commissioners will not determine the format of the playoff starting in 2026 until after this season is completed.
That's right.
So they can decide what they want to do. They can float the trial balloon. I'm sure a number of people will report it after the meeting to get, you know, kind of, you know, get the finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing on the reaction. But no matter what they discuss, won't officially be announced after that meeting. But obviously, it'll give us kind of a hint of what they're thinking about in the future. And you're right, real quick, about what you said about the SEC. I don't think the Big Ten is going to be on board until the SEC goes to 9 games.
That's
within
right.
their own conference, which I think that will happen once ESPN will give the SEC the money they feel they deserve by adding another conference game.
Right, exactly. ESPN will give them money for more inventory. Simple as that. And I agree with you completely. My opinion is the same as yours, that, look, they want to get the 4 automatics for each conference. That's a far greater priority, and then the scheduling part comes after that. What do you think of the opening month of the season so far? What has struck you?
What struck me is I felt before the season I said this, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but we'll see. I said the Big Ten and SEC champ would both have 2 losses. We'll see if that happens. You know, Georgia proved they're human. I mean, basically right now, everybody but Texas has looked like beatable. There's only 4 schools right now that have not trailed in a game this season. Real quick, you know who they are?
4 schools that haven't.
Big Ten.
4 schools haven't trailed in a game this season. Ohio State.
Wrong.
Wow.
Indiana. Akron.
That's right. Yeah. You know, that's right. That's right. Indiana has not trailed all season. I mean,
Indiana, the Mighty Hoosiers. Indiana, Texas, Tennessee, and Army. How about that?
Wow.
So I guess my takeaway is I don't think there's really been a dominant team yet. I know Texas has looked really good. I'm not sold on them yet. I still think Michigan's an 8-win team. I think it's, you know, pretty telling. The Big Ten came out and changed the rules midseason when they botched the onside kick, or Michigan could have lost that game.
Yep.
You know what? I'm not just sucking up to the home crowd here, but my God, Penn State looks like a totally different team on offense. With Andy as offensive coordinator. And, you know, this is, yes, Penn State fans, I'll die on this hill. This is the year you finally make the playoffs. They had to expand it, but I feel good for you this year. But what Franklin's done there, he's got him, going in the right direction. They look really good. Some people that I value their opinion a lot, that are a lot smarter than me, they actually like Penn State. Is a good value play to win the Big Ten.
I can't
disagree with that.
Yeah, in the end, how interested are you going to see? I know it's a once a week deal, but the reality of traveling back and forth yet hasn't set in for anybody. I know Washington just did it at Rutgers. How interested are you to see if there's an attrition rate in November for the West Coast teams, once they do have to start traveling east and then going back?
It's funny. If they win, everyone's going to say it's not that big a deal. If they lose, everyone's going to blame the travel. I don't really think it's going to be an impact. I forgot. It was Lincoln Riley who said, teams do this in the NFL all the time. Why is it such a big deal for college kids?
Right.
And I kind of agree with that. They're not student athletes anymore. They're players. They're getting paid. They do go to classes, allegedly. They do have other responsibilities. But bottom line, they're getting treated as well as the professionals. They're chartered flights. They're not sitting in the, we don't see them sitting in the Delta, terminal A2 waiting for the plane to get there. So, Steve, I really don't think it's going to matter, because the schedules are made out to give teams the travel a break. I know Miami's playing at Cal this week.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm already trying to get a Woke versus Coke t-shirt. I talked to Miami. They're going out a day early Thursday, and they're not coming back until they're not leaving until Sunday. They're like, they're not even going to do a red eye. They're just going to sleep in, get up Sunday, come back. They're off the next week. So also the conferences have done a good job. You know, teams that are traveling cross country, to give them an extra day, give them an off week, to give them some extra time. Yeah. Kind of similar when teams go play at Hawaii or when teams go play at Africa.
Right. See, I completely agree with that. I've been telling everybody when I go out to speak, I said, to be honest with you, to me, you have to do it the right way. I said, but it's no big deal. Penn State, when they go to USC next week, is going Thursday as well. So,
yeah. They'll figure it out. You adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, always a pleasure. You make this, like, boom, it goes like that. Thank you so much for the time, as always, Brett. I can't wait to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for putting up with me. Take care,
buddy. Oh, you putting up with you. You're great. Thanks, Brett. Brett McMurphy, Action Network. Crammed a lot of info in there. Remember, the suit complains about going to Jersey Shore. I mean,
in his defense, he has to drive.
Okay. Okay. It's his defense, he has to drive. Oh, yeah. Actually, in defense of Dave Ritchie, he has to be a passenger.
Yeah, that's true.
As the suit drives. Wow. You want to find religion fast, have that experience. Mm-hmm. All right. he's feeling better, by the way. He's got a way to go, but the suit's feeling better. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.